Good morning. Thank you for inviting me to be here today. My name is John Cheeseman. I'm the director of Mossman Art Gallery in Sydney, Australia. And I'm here to talk about a project that we've put together called Bungaree's Farm. Earlier today, in the introductory talks, we heard that that nexus of technology, the digital and the object was mentioned. And this is an exhibition or project that was put together really in the absence of the object. We were inspired by images of the past, but they were sort of absent from the exhibition or project itself. But we're also inspired by sight, by history, by practice, by memory, by artistic practices, contemporary artistic practices as well. One of the great unresolved issues in Australia, let alone Australian art and culture, is the dispossession of the Australian Aboriginal people, and the related issue of how we treat Aboriginal people in Australia. This exhibition was really about a high-tech, low-tech sort of a response by Aboriginal people, by Aboriginal curators and artists, to how they could address these questions using Bungaree and Bungaree's Farm as sort of a central point where those ideas could come together. Today I'll be talking a little bit about Bungaree himself. We'll be looking at I've got a video of the curator talking about the project as well that I'll show you. We'll talk about the process that we went through, and we'll also show you some snippets from the program itself and how it was actually realised within a site-specific context. But before I do that, I want to actually teach you some Aboriginal words of what was supposedly a dead language in Australia, the Biripi language in northern New South Wales. And Na-ba-ya, I'd like you to actually say those words. Na-ba-ya.
Na-ba-ya.
Na-ba-ya. That means, it is so. You know, it is so. And it's from a Biripi lament that was recorded by a missionary back in the early 19th century. And this was from an area that Bungaree was from. Now, Bungaree was... Okay. Now, this is a very famous image of Bungaree. Bungaree actually had more portraits done of him than any person in early colonial Australia. And yet, up until a couple of years ago, he was virtually unknown to everyone in Australia. This famous image, people knew the image. It looked like an overdressed Aboriginal person sort of making fun of him or making fun of himself in some ways. It's sort of a sort of absurd image in many ways. But yes, it's the most famous image of Bungaree. And here he is painted, and he's wearing the colonial governor's offcuts. His uniform that he didn't need anymore. And Bungaree and Bungaree's Farm. What around with Bungaree's Farm? Bungaree's Farm, the same Governor Macquarie, gave him land, ironically, in 1815. And last year was the 200th anniversary of that thing. So Aboriginal people could start to become farmers. He was given a peach tree. And a boat, and but the farm never worked, of course. But the issue of actually granting land back to Aboriginal people as a core issue was a part of the whole project, and something that we were looking at. Bungaree himself. This is an early map of Bungaree's Farm. He was actually given one of the most glorious places in Australia. It's right at the entrance of Sydney Harbour. For those of you who don't know, or Oh, sorry, it's a bit warped there, but Sydney was the first settled place in Australia, and Sydney, this is Sydney Harbour. You see the South Head and the North Head, and Middle Head, right in the middle of the harbour there, was where the land was granted to Bungaree. And that's where Mosman is, and that's why Mosman Art Gallery is involved in this project. In fact, that's the view from Bungaree's farm today. You know, you can see all the famous symbols of Sydney in the distance across the harbour. On the side of Bungaree's farm, it was controlled by the Navy for many years, and they had these huge, old, disused oil tanks, similar in scale and height to this room, and about the width of a football field. And there's three of those identical, and they're actually camouflaged against Japanese attack on the roof as well. That's a camouflage roof as well. And that's, we wanted to use this as being on the side of Bungaree's farm as a place to use for the project, a huge space. This is inside, and you can see it's very cathedral-like in a way. But how to fill such a space with an exhibition? You know, how to go about it as well. So these were some of the things that we were thinking about. Bungaree himself is a very fascinating person. As I said, he had more portraits of himself done than any early colonial figure. He was the first, he was a mariner. He actually sailed with many of the European sailors. He was the first person to circumnavigate Australia with Matthew Flinders, the great sailor in Australia. He was also the first person ever called an Australian that we know of. He was called King Bungaree, and he was called King of the Sydney Blacks, or Chief of the Sydney of the Broken Bay tribe. And you can see him just in the foreground there in his uniform. He was first given a gorget, which is a sort of necklace sort of thing that was given as by the governor as well, and that became a tradition along the way. It was so many firsts. The first lithograph in Australia was done of Bungaree. Charles Dickens actually wrote about Bungaree in one of his novels and his many wives. So there were many, many portraits, the French, the Russians, people that were visiting Sydney would actually come and take portraits of Bungaree. But we had none of these objects for our exhibition. And to put our exhibition together, I commissioned John Mundine, the foremost curator in Australia, and an Aboriginal himself, of Aboriginal art, to actually come and put an exhibition together. So we can play that first video. Yeah. So this will be John talking about the process and the exhibition.
I basically decided that people in order to
Yes, yeah, so you heard John speak about that. So the process too, I just want to speak about that a little bit now. So here we saw this image of Bungari earlier. You can see in the background there are the ships of the Empire in the background on Sydney Harbour. There's also similar images, which actually the bottom is cut off a little bit here, with his wife smoking a fag, with grog bottles on the ground as well. So it was this sort of combination of noble savage and also the reality, what was happening on the ground, that was sort of reflected in the art that was coming, that duality of things. And the artist, you know, played with that very much. So here you can see some reenactment of that key figure, dressed up in uniforms and so on, with the government-issued blanket and so on the shores of Sydney Harbour, on the side of Bungari's farm. And as part of the process of developing it, we actually camped on Bungari's farm. We brought in Aboriginal historians, we brought in European historians, we brought in activists, we brought in contemporary art makers, filmmakers, dramaturgs, all to work with a band of visual artists to come up with the content for this project. Here you go, you can see some more reenactment. And this is an early sort of rendition of what one of the artists saw as Bungari, as traditional man, as sailor, as farmer, as the sort of costumed Bungari. And it was important too, in a site-specific sense, we were going to display the works in those oil tanks, so we actually used the oil tanks as a studio too, to film in there. We wanted that to actually film on site in that way. And here's some stills from some of the things too. And I'll show you actually live images now of some snippets from the program. It ended up being a 45-minute program, a compendium of about 25 different artworks. Yeah,
I'm Bungari. I'm an Aborigine.
I am Bungari. I am an Aborigine.
I'm Bungari. No one chooses me.
About out of time. I just want to show a couple of slides and then I'll be finished. So that's just some snippets of the project. As I said, it goes for 45 minutes, and it's a compendium of about 25 different artworks. Just in terms of how it looked in the space, you saw a slither of it there. Imagine it as the size of this roof in an enclosed space. We talked about immersive experiences. It was a completely immersive experience. We also had whispers in the round space. Sound was a very strange sort of thing. So we had other sound design aspects going around that would fill the space at any time. And whispers would run along the walls as you were in the tank. We created some spaces. Animation was part of what we did. There was an installation in the middle, which you would have seen John Lundine speak in front of, and that's now an installation at the front of Mossman Art Gallery. But it was put in the tanks for this exhibition. So just some examples of how it actually looked and was realised in the space. So really, the exhibition used digital media. It was essential to actually fill the space to create a monumental scaled exhibition with very little money, really, and very, you know, and with the heritage restrictions and so on. It was essential that we actually use digital sound and image to fill the space. It also created new ways of Aboriginal art practice in Australia. It created a new space. It was the first time that space had ever been used for cultural uses. So it created a new space as well. And we'll be working, it's also inspired us to work on further iterations and further developments in this largely, this story that keeps unfolding in Australia today. Okay, thank you very much.